Welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and right now our guest is Dinesh D'Souza, who is a best-selling author and also a best-selling documentary maker. In fact, his movie, Hillary's America, is the leading top-grossing documentary of this year so far. Dinesh, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, Jerry, it's a pleasure. Good to be on the show.
Sure. Okay, so for those people who've been living in a cave for the last few weeks, tell us, what is the premise of Hillary's America?
The premise of the movie, and then there's also an accompanying book of the same title, is that the Democratic Party has put out a kind of false narrative about its history and about what it's all about. To listen to the Democrats, you get the idea they're the party of the ordinary guy, of the little guy. They've been fighting for women, for blacks, for Latinos, for immigrants, And the truth is the actual opposite. The Democratic Party actually has a very deplorable, sordid history. It's been the party of throwing the American Indians off their land in violation of all kinds of treaties. It's been the party of slavery, of segregation, of Jim Crow, of the Ku Klux Klan, of lynching, of social Darwinism and forced sterilization. A lot of Democrats were in bed with fascism and even Nazism in the 1930s. So the Democrats actually have a very sordid history, and it all culminates in Clinton, Hillary Clinton. And so this movie and book blow the whistle on the Clintons and show the long and ugly tradition that they're a part of. And it runs so against the prevailing narrative. Most people just don't know the kinds of eye-opening facts that are presented in the book and the movie.
Hmm. You know, in some ways, the pivotal character in all this is LBJ. How so?
Well, LBJ was, he built on FDR, Franklin Roosevelt. But what LBJ did was he reinvented the Democratic Party. Before that, the Democratic Party directly exploited minorities, and it did so in a sense. The most obvious example would be the slave plantations. Slave plantations were run by Democrats for 100 years. LBJ figured out a switch, a kind of a change of tactics, and essentially he invented, I would call it, the urban plantation, which was the idea of taking blacks, but not just blacks, other minorities too, and moving them to inner cities where they would be part of this kind of interlocking network of ghettos, barrios, and slums. And we find those right now all across America, from Detroit to Baltimore to Oakland. And these are Democratic enclaves. I mean, there are no Republicans to be found, Democratic mayors, Democratic school superintendents, Democrats all the way down. And these places are places of terrible poverty. Now, to some degree, everybody gets a meager living, just like on the old slave plantation, but no one gets ahead. There's nihilism and despair. And this is what the Democrats have created. So part of what I'm arguing is that although there are changes of strategies and tactics, in some ways, the Democratic Party continues its exploitation of poor people for their own benefit.
Hmm. I'm sure you're familiar with Star Parker, who was a black conservative, used to be on welfare and syndicated columnist and so forth. And she wrote one of her books, was called Uncle Sam's Plantation. And it's this idea, and she and then some other conservative blacks have been successful in breaking out of that plantation, but they're blowing the whistle on it, too, like you're saying.
And this is why they're so hated, because the very idea, if you create ladders of opportunity on the Democratic plantation, then people would get up and leave. They'd dust themselves off and say goodbye to the Democratic Party. So the Democrats don't want that. They don't like people leaving the plantation, and just like they didn't like people getting up and running off the slave plantation in the old days. So what they do now is they create a situation in which the whole population of these inner cities is dependent on them. It's almost like they're letting down a rope from the top of a building. They're promising to pull you up, but what they actually do is they get you to hang on to the rope and they pull you halfway up and then they hold, because that way you're hanging in the air, you're dependent on them, you can't let go because you'll go crashing to the ground, and you become in a sense a serf of the new Democratic plantation.
It's almost like you could say it this way. It's a good thing the Democrats love poor people. They've made so many of them.
Exactly. And the paradox is we've spent trillions of dollars to get people out of poverty, and yet it never seems to work. These people are in the same situation that they were in 1968. Now, why is that? I think the reason for it is this. in the old days, the Democrats were into stealing people's labor. And that's really what slavery is. It's a form of theft of a man's labor, right? Mm-hmm. It forces a guy to work for you for free for his whole life. Now they're into basically going after people's votes. They don't care about labor. In fact, they would prefer that people on the urban plantation not work, because if you work, you're less dependent on the Democratic Party. So they like non-working people who are collecting government benefits, because in this way you become beholden for life to the Democratic Party. So it's, again, a change of tactics, but the same old crooks are running the same old rackets as they used to.
You have tremendous reenactments in your film, Hillary's America, but one of those that really touched me, and this is why I brought up LBJ, because he is the turning point in a sense. He's the guy that tried to ensure, as I understood you know, from your film, even that he was, hey, they're going to be voting for us for the next 200 years, in terms of the con job that he pulled over. In fact, I understand that Martin Luther King Jr. was even a Republican earlier before LBJ signed the Civil Rights Bill and then, you know, instituted all that welfare, but again, to get a lot of voters.
Yeah, LBJ's motives were purely cynical. Now, interestingly, what many people don't know is more Republicans proportionately voted for the Civil Rights Act of 1964 and the Voting Rights Act and the Fair Housing Bill than Democrats did. So Republicans actually can claim credit for the civil rights movement. That's what Democrats do. They try to say, well, even if we were the party of slavery and segregation and the Ku Klux Klan, that was all in the old days. Then we did the civil rights movement. But the evidence shows that's not true, that, in fact, the Republicans, that if the Democrats were the only party in Congress, so there were no Republicans, none of those laws would actually have passed. The opposition to the civil rights movement came from the Democratic Party.
Ah, but someone might say, but what about somebody like Strom Thurmond? He was a strong Democrat. He was also a strong racist. But then eventually he became a Republican. Doesn't he kind of show the trend of these old, longtime racists becoming Republicans? Your movie really rebutted that idea.
Yeah, it's called The Big Switch, this notion that there was, in fact, as you say, a trend away from the racist. Essentially, the Democrats saw the light and the racist Democrats all became Republicans. I think that what we show in the movie, and the book actually documents this in excruciating detail, is that Strom Thurmond actually represents a trend of one guy. If you make a list of all the Dixiecrats, the members of the Dixiecrat Party, only Thurmond switched. No one else. All the rest of the Democratic racists remained in the Democratic Party. And in fact, as someone has pointed out, think of the word Dixiecrat. I mean, it's not Dixie cans. These aren't Republicans. This was actually a faction of Democrats who created the Dixiecrat faction or coalition. So there is no trend. Thurmond was sort of an exception to the rule. This notion of Democrats having seen the light is really a big myth. The most radical racists, all the heads, the grand dragons of the Ku Klux Klan, heads of every local tavern and so on, all those guys throughout the 20th century were Democrats.
Mm. Yeah, you know, I was kind of surprised in some ways about Woodrow Wilson because he is often portrayed as a progressive, but in your film, he certainly comes off as a strong racist.
Well, except part of the theme of the film is that progressivism and racism were in bed with each other. Mm-hmm. We see this not only in Wilson, who is an ardent segregationist and actually promoted the revival of the Ku Klux Klan, even while claiming to be a progressive. FDR, the same thing. Here's FDR, the great progressive hero of the 20th century. FDR was cutting deals with the worst racists in America, who actually said that they would not support the New Deal if FDI did not agree to block all anti-lynching laws. And FDR agreed. And then they said, and you also have to cut blacks out of the New Deal. So if blacks are in professions like domestic service or agricultural labor, you should exempt them from New Deal programs like Social Security. FDR agreed again. So again, this is the indisputable history of the United States.
Wow.
It's in the book. It's in the movie. The left has been thrashing around trying to challenge it, but they haven't been able to challenge, let alone refute, a single fact in the movie or in the book.
Wow. You know, that's interesting. I was not aware of some of those details you just said about FDR. One of his appointees for the U.S. Supreme Court, who almost got blocked in a day when they didn't block the nominees, you know, as ardently as has happened in our time, in our lifetime. But anyway, Hugo Black almost got blocked from serving on the Supreme Court because he had been involved, active, as a Ku Klux Klan member, and that was in his 30s. Now, when you're in your 30s, your life is pretty well set to some degree.
Oh, yeah, but talking about Hugo Black.
Yeah, and Hugo Black did so much damage in terms of the understanding of First Amendment. He's the one that, made it so that we have this situation where, instead of Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion, they took this obscure letter from Thomas Jefferson, misinterpreted that letter itself, and then imposed and essentially state-sanctioned atheism, as a replacement for church and state. We've lost a lot of religious liberty because of this Hugo Black guy, and he was an appointee of FDR and had been involved in the KKK, very much so involved.
Hugo Black was asked, didn't FDR have concerns about you being in the Ku Klux Klan and being actually a local leader of the Ku Klux Klan? And Hugo Black said, absolutely not. FDR told me that some of his best friends were in the Klan, and he had absolutely no problem with me being in the Klan. So I don't even know why this is a big issue. Now, here's the point.
That's amazing.
The progressives dominate academia and the media, and they know all this. They know it's true. But they are disturbed by it. They don't want young people to find out. So they say to themselves, hey, guys, let's just leave that one out of the textbooks because we don't want young people to think that we're the bad guys. So part of our problem here is that we've been seeing a whitewashing of history by the left. And that's what makes this movie and the book, Hillary's America, so subversive, is it's dense with facts. These facts aren't just presented in a dry as dust manner. They're shown, brought to life in the screen. They blow away the people. That's why every time we show this movie, people stand up at the end and applaud wildly, which is so rare in a theater.
Yeah,
and
that's true.
Because of all this new information.
Yeah, it was excellent. And when you had Carol Swain there from Vanderbilt, man, that was amazing. That interview was just phenomenal. And she's been a guest on our program on the D. James Kennedy Ministries program. But who is she?
Absolutely. Well, Carol is, she was at Princeton for many years, has authored a number of important books, is maybe one of the two or three leading African-American female civil rights scholars in the country. And so this is a film with unimpeachable credibility behind it. And I think that's part of what makes it so dismaying to the left. So it is important to see the movie and get the book because the book has chapter and verse. I make remarkable statements in the movie. Like I say, in 1860, the year of the Civil War, no Republican owned a slave. All the slaves in the entire country were owned by Democrats. Now, the left could easily refute this by giving me a list of Republicans who own slaves, but they never have and they never will because there weren't any. And so the book provides the documentation that people need after seeing the movie and getting all fired up. This is how you can back up every claim that's in the film.
You mentioned earlier that when you have a black conservative come out, this person gets vilified. Do you in any way, since you're coming from another country, India specifically, get at least a partial pass with the American left? Well, I guess you don't because you get vilified yourself.
I wouldn't say that, Jerry, because the last time I made a movie on Obama,
you ended up in jail.
I found the FBI knocking on my door a few weeks later.
Wow.
So I certainly don't get a pass. I think I'm from the left's point of view, the worst kind of immigrant, because I came to America. I'm a patriot. I love the country. I want to assimilate to its ideas, and I'm defending the principles that have made America great. I'm upholding ladders of opportunity. Now, if I came to America speaking no English, having no desire to hold a job, but willing to cast a lifelong vote for the Democratic Party, I probably would be one of the speakers of the Democratic National Convention.
Great point. Okay, we have half a minute to sum up here. Hillary's America, a must-see movie by Dinesh D'Souza. I've seen it. And I love it. In fact, I plan to see it again. How about a closing thought, Dinesh?
Well, if I may say, Jerry, the movie website is just hillarysamericathemovie.com, hillarysamericathemovie.com. You can watch a trailer, and if you plug in your zip code, it'll tell you where the movie's playing near you. The book is number 2 on the New York Times bestseller list, and it's available in Costco, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, everywhere you can get good books.
Sure, and this is a great book. Okay, Dinesh, thanks so much for being with us. God bless and all the best.
Jerry, it's a pleasure. Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.